core of our being.
And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing.
Dylan has always insisted that he was not the spokesperson for his or any generation. So let's not burden the artist with some moniker he has always disdained, but rather celebrate the man and his music and its message.
Oh, the times they are changing.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jeff Anderson, Sam Bowman, Don Zare, Teresa Mitchell, and Lisa Loving. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News. Our engineers are Danielle Park and Mike Fotopoulos. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Rosalind Scott.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning, Tuesday, on KBOO at 7, it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris will host, of course, the Abe and Joe talk radio show. At 9, on Alternative Radio, professor and author David Harvey speaks on the end of capitalism. At 10 o'clock, tune in for Chris Andre. She'll host Air Cascadia. At 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 a.m. on stage and studio, the topic will be Defunct Theater's production of Her by Taylor Mack, about a dysfunctional family riddled with inner conflict. 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews mixed media artist Sean Healy about his new show Gut at Elizabeth Leach Gallery. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by simply going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
And one last thing. We have one pair of tickets to see Greg Palast appearing at the Clinton Street Theater this Thursday night. The first person who Danielle picks up the phone in the air room gets two names placed on the guest list at the event. That's Greg Palast at the Clinton Street Theater, October 26th at 5 p.m. Call the air room at 503-231-8187 right now. Listeners are eligible to win only if you've not won anything from KBOO in the last 30 days.
Good night, Rosalind.
Good night, Robert. Good night, Danielle.
Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
KBOO Prison Pipeline host Karen James speaks with Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee member Tyler B. and Richard Molnar, a prisoner at Deer Ridge Correctional Institution in Madras, Oregon, about the September 9th prisoner work stoppage and the resulting crackdown at the prison.
On September 9th, prisoners across the country initiated a mass series of hunger strikes and work stoppages. The nonviolent demonstrations commemorated the 1971 Attica uprising, where state troopers gunned down 38 inmates and hostages. Here in Oregon, prisoners at the Deer Ridge Correctional Institution in Madras organized a kitchen work stoppage, demanding improvements to the food served at the prison. As a result, two Deer Ridge prisoners, Joshua Cartrett and Scott Elam, were transferred to the Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution in Pendleton. With me are Tyler B. and Ash, both from the Portland chapter of the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee and Anarchist Black Cross. Tyler, what was IWOC's involvement in this Deer Ridge situation?
Yeah, so we've been working with Joshua Cartretta and Scott E. Lamb. We've been in correspondence with them, and Josh has been an advocate and an educator on the inside, working to pull youth out of the white supremacist movement and to educate people on their rights on the inside and develop critical thinking skills to allow people to advocate for themselves and fight, you know, these inhumane conditions over there at Deer Ridge. Prisoners have been served rotten, moldy food day in and day out over there, and there's no legal recourse for the prisoners to really be able to challenge that besides reaching outside of those walls. And so that's what we had been doing with Josh, Scott E. Lamb, and other folks in there, you know, sending in educational literature. You know, basically what happened was we had learned that on September 9th, some prisoners were sent in isolation and sent to the hole and the kitchen worker staff because they had finally had enough and said, you know, we're going to take a stand on this issue. We believe we should be getting, you know, food that's fit for human consumption. And as a result, several prisoners were sent to the hole and then released. And so things really seemed calm for a while. Well, we finally heard from Josh about a couple weeks later, and they were talking about the fact that this is what happened. There was this food strike and people were sent to the hole, and they wanted some support. So we contacted people in the National Lawyers Guild who have said that they would help us begin a claim of notice, begin a legal process against the prison for their blatant violation of Oregon state law that decries that prisoners should be given nutritional meals and, you know, served regular portions. And so what happened was we then forwarded an email from the National Lawyers Guild to Josh and Scott, along with legal information about state law, how it regulates prison food, and that was what they asked for. And as a result, the prison officials freaked out around the 21st, and we sent in this information around that time. And so we believe that the prison got a hold of these documents and then, you know, threw them in the trash because both Scott and Josh had been, you know, having their mail rejected. And this was on the September 21st. And so then they were put in the hole. Several other prisoners were put in the hole. The prison began interrogating everybody and making copies of all of the letters, outgoing letters in the prison. And from there, they transferred both Josh and Scott, the two people that we sent this legal information to Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution in Pendleton, far away from their family. And we believe it's a blatant attempt by the prison to cover up the inhumane and illegal conditions that are happening over there. And so as a result, they have declared that the Anarchist Black Cross is now a security threat group in the prison, while Oregon State has open neo-Nazi groups, European kindred, people working in the prison. You know, that's a white supremacist prison gang that recently was involved in the murder of a black youth out in Gresham just last month. Larnell Bruce was his name. So these types of organizations are openly working in the prison, but when prisoners come together to organize and to improve conditions and fight for their human rights, they're called a security threat group, and, you know, they're thrown in solitary confinement. And last time, Josh had done some advocacy work over there that resulted in a nonviolent work stoppage. He was put in solitary confinement, forced to live in a bathroom-sized cell for 24 months. So that's what's happening, and that's what we're trying to work against, and why the prison, you know, is really freaking out and viewing us as a threat and trying to put us in this light of being this gang security threat group. Because in reality, the white supremacist gangs, that functions with the system, and so they're not a threat, but we're a threat group when we try to fight for our rights. So now we're going to go to an interview with Richard Molnar. He's a prisoner at Deer Ridge Correctional Institution who's an IWOC member on the inside, and he's going to talk about the situation over there.
So Richard, can you give us a rundown of what happened during the September 9th work stoppage in the kitchen at the Deer Ridge prison?
Most of what happened during that time was coordinated through some people that were in other units. It wasn't directly related to my unit or where I was at. I don't work. I'm not in the kitchen. However, there was a related incident, if you will, where there were searches and there were certain IWOC members that were sent to segregation.
And how many prisoners actually took part in the work stoppage?
I really can't tell you. I don't know for 100%. how many were involved. I know there was quite a group, and the investigator said something to the amount of five individuals that were in segregation due to it. So I don't know how many people were actually transferred out.
And Richard, the prisoners were demanding improvements in the food service at the Deer Ridge Prison. They said the food is rotten, moldy, and they are given insufficient portions.
Yes. The food has been, the quality increasingly has gotten much worse. I know one of the head cooks that works down there had gotten fired at one point in time and rehired because there was moldy cucumbers. We just had some food, got a couple days ago, that was rotten meat. This particular cook told me that they had to take the rotten meat and mix it up with the good meat. It was, you walked in and the air was thick with a foul smell of rotten meat. It was horrible. It goes unnoticed by the coordinators. They just turn their head and say, you have to do it or they'll fire you, throw you in seg, what have you. There was an instance where we had some type of, it was like a hot dog type sausage, and it was really, really moldy and deplorable. I mean, it was such that people had spit it out, people had left it at the table, and this is not something typically, was just really revolting, and at that point in time, there were officers standing outside telling people, don't eat the meat, go for the veggie tray. That's what I'm being told. Everybody go for the veggie tray. But they were still passing out this meat. The kitchen coordinators were complicit in just passing it out, knowing that it was bad, knowing that it was rancid meat, and, you know, not caring.
And what happened to prisoners Cartrett and Elam for their involvement in this work stoppage at the Deer Ridge Correctional Institution? Richard, what have you heard?
From what I understand, the extent of it is that they were informing other prisoners as to their rights. They were informing other prisoners as to the wrongs that were going on and the need for some transparency with regard to the issues. And that caused an issue between, of course, the investigation administration to come in and pull them out and put them into segregation.
Richard, when exactly did this investigation start? And was this a direct result of the September 9th work stoppage at the prison?
I don't know what this was a result of, except for, from what I understand, one of the COs told me that this is coming in from Salem, and anybody getting labor union materials is now going to start being investigated. So that was what I understood. My investigation started on the 13th. Of this month, so only 10 days ago. So it's a very nascent thing as far as putting me in the spotlight with regard to DOC. The investigation into the September 9th, quote-unquote, deal was, I don't know. I have no idea about that.
Richard, did the prisoners have any other demands on this September 9th nationwide prison strike? And what repercussions were felt at the prison? Was the prison locked down?
So yesterday there was a lockdown with no movement. All workers stopped. Originally, there was not one on September 9th with a work stoppage. I think there's a list of goals and demands. You know, we could call them as high up as a political action of striking the punishment clause in the 13th Amendment to fully abolish slavery in the United States, and to as little as, you know, having healthy food, better health care, better community interaction, family interaction, you know, getting fair pay. This is a problem when we send people to prison, is they come to prison and they come out with nothing, and they don't have a way to pay their bills while they're in here. If I took somebody out of their home situation and away from their family, that would be a great punishment. But then to further add in insult and to take away their ability to pay their bills, so they get further in debt, so then when they get out they have nothing. And that's not even to say about the insult being a second class citizen. I mean, I'm not looking at this whole situation of prison and acts that one has may or may not have done wrong as, you know, well, we need to get away scot-free, but we need to set up a system that is going to help achieve the end goal. And the end goal is to put people back into society where they're eventually going to go on a healthy way. And not doing that, not allowing this to occur, is causing the revolving door, causing this recidivism in itself. I mean, aside from my political views and aside from everything else, these are some of the demands.
Richard, the strike on September 9th was primarily about prison labor. Describe some of the jobs at Deer Ridge Prison and how much the prisoner is paid.
I had one of the better jobs until mid-August, and my job was as clerk of physical plant. I kept the second set of books for physical plant for spending. I also did computerized maintenance management and inventory. I earned 14 points. I could earn anywhere depending on what call-outs I have, what days of work they call me in for, anywhere from $35 up to $65 a month. And that's a higher paying job. If you're working as an orderly cleaning the living areas, the day room areas, the showers, what have you, you can earn as little as $17 to $30 a month. I mean, you're not earning very much. And you have to think that even at very minimum, people have to pay for hygiene, and hygiene has gotten considerably more expensive. Everything in commissary has gotten considerably more expensive. My first interaction with DOC was in 2007, and the pay wage, the PRAS points that we get, have not increased. However, the amount that commissary, our cost for hygiene and what have you, has increased exponentially. It's very difficult to survive like that.
You know, one way that people can help out with this issue is by calling Superintendent Tim Causey, who's the warden at Deer Ridge Correctional Institution, at 541-325-5999, extension 522.